Blog Talk Radio.
Because I know you're coming after why. No, I don't even burn. No. I will know you now.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Ah, this is a glorious day in the Lord. Welcome to Tamayo Deliverance Ministries, a study in the Word. Oh, it is such an honor and a privilege to see another day, a day that was not promised us to us, but God. Oh, that's all I can say, but God, His grace and His mercy. Make sure you have your weapons with you. And what is your weapon? Well, the sword, which is your Bible, a paper and something to write with. Anytime you are in a Bible study, a service, a meeting where the word is going forth, it's always best to have your tools, your weapons, because the enemy always comes to take the word away from us. Sometimes you'll hear a scripture that you want to refer back to, and when you try to think about it, you might forget what it was, or you may forget in which content it was spoken. So if you have your Bible, you can always refer to it. If you write the scriptures and what was said down on paper, you can always refer back to it. Amen. Let us pray before we get started in the Word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to study your precious and most holy word. Prepare our hearts, our mind, and our spirit to receive from you. God, give us clarity and understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I started playing that song by Juanita Bynum, which says, "I don't mind waiting on the Lord," because God dropped that in my spirit this morning. And our topic today is going to be waiting on the Lord. I've heard people use this phrase often. They would say, "I will wait until my change comes." In the book of Job, it says, Job, the 14th chapter, the 14th verse, it says, "Will I wait till my change come?" The Oxford Dictionary describes the word wait as to stay where one is or delay action until a particular time or a particular occurrence. Psalms 27 and 14 tells us to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, why are we waiting on the Lord? You know, when trials and tribulations and distractions come in our life, we always want to try to fix it. We try to think about it. We try to figure out. Most of the time we worry about it, which the Bible tells us that we shouldn't worry about anything. We often fret about it. The book of James tells us, James, the first chapter, the second verse, it says to count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What in the world? I remember when I was, I think I was saved for maybe 6 months, truly saved, where I knew I wasn't going to go back into the world. Sometimes we say that we're saved, we're going to give our life to Christ, and I'm speaking for me. I've said that many times, not that I was giving my life to Christ, but I said, Lord, I'm going to change. I'm going to do things differently. And every time God delivers me out of a situation, I end up going back doing the same old thing. And when I got saved for real, I gave my life to Christ. It means I'm not turning around, God, this is it. I'm going with you all the way. It seemed like everything was coming at me. I mean, it was like the floodgate of hell opened up. Trouble was on every side. If it wasn't trouble with my family, trouble with my children, trouble with the job, trouble with the dog, and I didn't even have a dog. Glory be to God. And God took me to James, the first chapter, the second verse, and he said, count it all joy. And I said, I've yet to find something to be happy about when all of this is going on. God, I just don't understand. And so he took me to Psalms 27 and 14. And he said, just wait on me. And I said, okay, God, I'll wait. How long are you talking? 2 hours? Another day? You know, God, this is just too much. And he said, again, wait on me. Be happy. And I said, God, I don't know how I could rejoice. And he took me back to James, the first chapter, the second verse. And I said, God, I started praying to him. And I said, well, God, show me what you want me to see. Make it so plain that somebody on my level can understand, because right now I'm reading the word and I yet still cannot understand. And so as he was dealing with me, he says that when you fall in diverse temptation, when trouble comes your way, when the floodgate of hell opens up, I still want you to be joyful. I want you to know that in all of this, I'm still with you. And all I'm doing, I'm putting up, I'm allowing the heat to come your way, because there are some things in you that's not of me that has to be destroyed. You've got to see me for who I am. And I said, okay, God, you really got to work with me. You really got to show me. And so he says, when there's impurity in you, I allow things to happen so that you will draw closer to me. You won't run to your prayer partners. You won't run and get on the phone and call everybody asking their opinion of the situation when I'm allowing this to happen. He says, you're going to understand that all I'm doing is perfecting you. I'm teaching you how to be patient, because when you wait, you don't have any choice but to be patient, because you know God is in control and he's going to do it in his own timing, not when we decide that we want it done. And I said, okay, God, I see this. I'm getting a little light. I still don't have the full understanding. And it says, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I said, okay, God, this is a lot. And so then I decided I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to pull out my Bibles. I love the King James, and I also have an NIV. And I started looking at the scripture line by line. And Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the first verse states, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we see the word now, now tells us it's not future. This thing is happening right now, right at this very moment. Now faith. I've got to believe God as I'm waiting that it's going to come to pass. Even though it seems hard, even though I feel the heat, I feel like I'm about to burn up, I know it's going to come to pass. When I'm walking in faith, I can't see it. I just know that it's going to happen. And if I can see it, then it's not faith. If I can work this thing out, it's definitely not faith. Because faith won't take me there. Faith is, I don't see it, but God, I believe it. I trust you. I know it's going to come to pass. I don't know when, but I still have to wait. And in my waiting, I've got to be of good courage. I've got to rejoice. Then I've got to have that thing they call patience. I used to call it that dirty P word because I lacked patience. I wanted it then. I wanted it now. I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to wait. It had to happen right there and then for me. But I understand it's not even about me. It is about God's purpose. It's about God's timing. It is about God's desire for my life, God's desire for your life. And then I found out as I was reading that patience is one of those fruits of the Spirit I've got to have if I want to have the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll talk about that another time when the Lord leads to teach on the fruit of the Spirit, because I used to hear people say the fruit, putting the S on it, of the Spirit. And when I went to the scripture, I realized that it's the fruit with no S of the Spirit. In order to have all the fruits that are listed, you got to have all of those to have the fruit of the Spirit. But that's a whole nother teaching. But if I've got patience, I definitely can trust God. And if I got patience and I got trust, then guess what? I can wait on the Lord. Well, what do I do while I'm waiting? The first thing we should be doing is rejoicing. And that was something that was very hard for me to do, because I told God, how can I rejoice when I am in the fire? I felt like a hypocrite because I was acting, this is my thinking years ago until God gave me understanding and revelation. I thought I was being a hypocrite, acting like everything was okay when I know in my heart to heart, when I leave that church, when I leave service, I'm going home, my problem is still there, and I've just shouted, according to me, in vain. But there's a scripture that says you speak those things that aren't as if they are. Well, I was activating my faith. I knew in the natural that I was still in the fire. But if I just rejoice and I give God what's due him, if I remember it's not even about me, God is getting me in that place with him where he could use this vessel. He cannot use a vessel that's all torn up, because I was tore up. Let's keep it real. I was a mess, but God found something inside of me that he could use. That's why he gave me the gift of salvation. He saw something in this filthy vessel worth saving. Worth salvaging. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And I thank him for that. And so when I found out that there was something that he could use within me, I said, okay, God, what is it? I said, God, do what you have to do with me. Huh? Be careful what you ask for. But I learned that I can rejoice. And if we go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 18th verse, it tells us to rejoice evermore. To rejoice evermore. To be happy regardless of what's going on around you. Be happy. God is still in control. If you want to go to Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And I kept saying, God, you keep telling me to rejoice, to rejoice, to rejoice. Well, in your waiting, to keep your mind occupied, because if you don't keep your mind steadfast on the word of God, your mind will take you out in left field. Your mind will just mess up everything that God is trying to do in your life, because everything that happens is for God to get the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So as we're waiting, we got to rejoice. We got to remember that if we're trusting God, hallelujah, if we're trusting him, we got to believe he is who he said he is. He said he is our rock. That means he's not going to move. He says he's with us forever. Hallelujah. He said he is our shepherd and we shall not want. Oh, God, I thank you. He is who he said he is. Glory be to God. I love it when Moses asked, when God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and deliver his people, and Moses says, well, if Pharaoh asks, who's sending him, what should I say? And he says, say that I am. And that when I read that, it hit me hard, and I started rejoicing, and I said, oh, God, you are whatever I need you to be. That's why you are the I am that I am. You are, if I need you to be my deliverer, you are my deliverer. If I need you to be my way maker, you are my way maker. If I'm waiting on you for healing, guess what? You are my healer. That's why I can wait and be of good courage. Not with my head hung down like I don't believe what you're saying. I can hold my head up knowing, God, that you are everything I desire you to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Going back to the reason why we should, what we should do while we're waiting. The first thing, I got so carried away, is the first thing we need to do is to rejoice. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5 and the 16th verse, and Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse. Also, while we're waiting, we should pray. The Bible tells us, again, in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, that we should pray without ceasing. Now, I'm not talking about praying for your situation, because I believe this. Once you've prayed, and unless God is pressing on you to continue to petition him, but my belief is once I pray for a thing, I'm believing God to move. If I'm lining up with him, if I'm in right standing with the Lord, the Bible says, if I believe, I shall receive whatsoever I pray for. And so when I pray for my situation, I'm believing that God is going to answer. And as I'm waiting on God to answer, I'm going to, one, rejoice, and two, I'm going to pray. I'm not going to pray for myself, but I'm going to intercede on behalf of someone else. Because I know someone is going through something worse than I am. There's always some situation worse than yours. You may be praying for a better vehicle, and there's someone that doesn't have a vehicle. You may be praying for a better home, and there may be someone who doesn't have a home or is living in a house that's rat infested, that has roaches all over, that's already condemned, but that's all they can afford. There is always somebody in a worse situation than you. So you can always pray for them. You can always pray for your neighbor. You can pray for your pastor. You can pray for the leaders of your city, the state, the country. There is always something to pray about. That's why the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. We have got to pray. Hallelujah. The other thing, as we're waiting on the Lord, we need to worship him. And I love worship. Oh, my God. I am a worshiper, and I love worshiping God and worship. And sometimes people get praise and worship confused. They when they're praising God, they think that they're worshiping God, but there is a distinction between praise and worship. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. In other words, if you're breathing, you should be praising him. He is our creator. That's why we can praise him. Giving him his props for who he is, for creating everything. He's spoken and it was. Worship is intimate. You forget about yourself. You forget about your needs. You forget about your desire. It is all about God. It's all about what he is all about. It's about his magnificent being. It's about reverencing him. And John, the fourth chapter, let's see. The fourth chapter, starting with the 23rd and the 24th. The 23rd verse says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we are worshiping God, we are worshiping him in our spirit. Our flesh is gone. When you're in worship, you could be before God for hours, and it may seem like seconds when it's true worship. When it's worship, you're not even concerned about the time. You're not concerned about trying to get the dinner done before your family comes home. You're not worried about who's calling you on the telephone. You don't even hear the telephone when you are in deep worship, when you're in real worship with the Lord. So while you're waiting, the first thing you need to do is to rejoice. The second is to pray. The third is to worship. The fourth is to give. Now, when I say give, I'm not talking about giving tithes and offering. If God desires you to do that, then you do what God tells you. Giving is not, it's more than just money. You can give your time. You can give your talent, because when I find out that when you are in the heat, when you're in the fire, when you focus, when you get the focus off yourself and on someone else or on God, guess what? You forget about your situation. Your situation is history because you're waiting anyway. You know God is going to do what God says he's going to do. You can give your time. You can give your talent. You can go to the nursing home and read scriptures. There's so many people in the nursing home that love the Word of God, and their eyesight has failed them, and they desire to have the Word read to them. They want to hear the Word. You can do that. You can be their eyes. If your talent is singing, then go to the nursing home and sing. If your talent is cooking, then guess what? Cook a meal. Give it away. Feed your neighbor. Feed the neighborhood. Go downtown or wherever you live. I guarantee you in every city there is a homeless shelter. Go there. Feed the people. Give something out your closet. If it's your best, give it away. Because you don't know when the shoe will be on the other foot when you need something. And somebody will give it to you. You cannot beat God's giving. I'm telling you, I am a living witness. Anytime God tells me to go in my closet, I go in and I give out. I give shoes, purse. When I give my outfits, I make sure that person get a matching purse, shoes, accessories. You know what? Because God will bless. Somebody needs that. I don't need it. I'm not wearing it. And God is not going to have me naked. And good Lord, I think I would get arrested to be naked. Glory be to God. But I'm telling you, you cannot beat God's giving. So give. Remember, as you're waiting, you want to rejoice. You want to pray. You want to worship. And you want to give. Now, I want to look at a couple of people that needed to wait on the Lord. And one waited and did not wait. Sarah, in the book of Genesis, who was married to Abraham, God made a promise to Abraham. God told him in Genesis, the 14th chapter, the 15th verse, he told Abraham, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." So if God told Abraham that he is going to receive everything that he can see and his seed, that means somehow he is going to be a father. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, the 4th verse, it says, "But he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir." Because Abraham was questioning. He said, "Look, I'm old. I'm getting up there in age. And we haven't had a child yet. I'm past that age. And I just want to know, God, is the person that's in my house the person that's going to be my child, who did not come from me, who did not come from my wife?" And the Lord just gave him that reassurance, letting him know, you will plant a seed in Sarah, and that seed will inherit. But, you know, when we wait, sometimes we think God should answer us immediately, and so Sarah couldn't wait. And what she did, she told her husband, Abraham, and this is in Genesis, the 16th chapter. She asked her husband to sleep with her handmaid. And don't you know that's when the trouble started? Because she couldn't wait on God. And he didn't wait on God either. So we can't blame it all on her, but he was just as guilty because he did not wait. And so trouble started. But don't you know, when God makes a promise to us, that's why we can wait on him. We can be of good courage, because when God says he's going to do a thing, he's going to do a thing, and it's going to be in his timing. Because God told Abraham that he said, "Thy seed will come from you. Out of thy own bowels shall they be an heir." And so Abraham was 100 years old when God answered him. And you can find that in Genesis, the 21st chapter, the 5th verse. And also Ishmael was the son that he had with Hagar, the handmaiden. He was 13 years old. So it took, well, it didn't take God, but God waited 13 years before he answered Abraham. Now, To us, that may seem like a long time, but don't you know God had to get them in a place? When God answers us, like I said, it's not in our timing, but it's always according to God's perfect will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, a person that waited on God, who received the blessing in God's time, and not that Abraham and Sarah did not receive the blessings, because they did. I need to emphasize that. But they went through trouble. But if we go to 1 Samuel, starting at 1 Samuel, the first chapter talks about Hannah, who desired a baby with her husband, and she was barren. And she prayed to God, and she waited on God, and she made a vow that you give me a son, give me a child, and I will give that child back to you. She waited. She did not doubt God. And sure enough, God blessed her with a child. And she gave God that child back. And God blessed her with more children. When we wait on God, when we be obedient and not rush God, we won't have the issues of allowing our flesh to just rear up and get us in trouble. We won't have the troubles that follow us when we get off the right path and walk in disobedience. Amen. So if we look with me with Psalms, the 27th, Psalm 27 and verse 14 is where I really want to look at a couple of things. I want to bring it home, so to speak. Psalms 27, the 14th verse. It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. That means depend on God. Remember that God never fails. He has never broken a promise. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he said it, it shall come to pass. That's why we can wait on the Lord. Now, notice it did not say wait on Sierra Simmons. It did not say wait on your pastor. It did not say wait on your prayer partner. It said wait on the Lord. Then as you're waiting, it says be of good courage. That means our attitude got to be right. Yes, you're going through. Who isn't? Everybody goes through something in life. And guess what? When that particular issue, that trial, that tribulation, that distraction, when that's over, guess what? Something else going to come. But you'll be better able to handle it, because guess what? Now you're trusting God just a little bit more. But your attitude says a whole lot. No one wants to be around someone who's always sad, whose head is always hung down. Hello. Who is, oh, poor me, it's the end of the world. No, be of good courage. Smile. Rejoice. Praise God. It could be worse. Oh, what do I mean it could be worse? You could be going through your trials and tribulations and not have the gift of salvation. You could be going through your trials, tribulations, and temptation and not be connected to the source. And who is the source? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why our attitude should be right. We should be happy. I'm not saying pretend that it's, you know, that it's not there, but you know what? There's a time and a place for everything. Once you've given that to God, let God be God and let God deal with it. If you feel that your attitude is not right, guess what? Go to God in prayer. Lord, I need you to fix my attitude. I want to have the right attitude. I want to have the attitude of Christ. Amen. Then it says, he shall strengthen thy heart. Don't you know in the heart is where all our issues lie? The heart holds everything. It is the life of our body. You could be brain dead, and they can hook you up to a machine, and guess what? You can live. But if the heart is gone. You're dead. It's over. So all your issue is in your heart. Amen? So if your attitude is right, you've got it made in the shade, and God will strengthen you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. I love it. And then it says, wait. Notice in 14, Psalm 27, verse 14, in the beginning it tells you to wait. And at the end it says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Because if you get a little weary in your waiting, guess what? Here it comes again telling you to wait. Trust God. Come on. You're almost there to your breakthrough. You're almost there. And the enemy, the devil, is going to throw everything imaginable at you to get you to give up, to get you to say, oh, God, this is not going to work. Huh. Now you got to start all over. You become double-minded. You started doubting God. Now, did God not create the devil? Did God not create Satan? Why give Satan more power than God? God is the creator. God created everything. Hallelujah. He has all power. All power. Glory be to God. Oh, blessed be his name. Hallelujah. That's why we can wait and rejoice. God will never fail you. As you're waiting on the Lord, as you're waiting until your change comes, always rejoice. Always pray. Always worship. Always give. Have the right attitude. Be humble. Keep up a good spirit. Expect the unexpected. What do I mean? God is a God that can give you what you're looking for and then some. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Keep your mind focused on him. Stay in the word. If you don't know any other scripture except for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, then you recite that scripture. If you only know greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world, you say that anytime the enemy comes to put doubt in your mind, you counteract that with a scripture. You say, devil, you have no authority in me. You have no authority over me. You have no authority even speaking to me. And you give the devil the word. Give him a scripture. If you don't know a scripture, get your Bible. Open it up. Find the first scripture you find. You read it. Give it back to him. Give him the word. Hallelujah. Don't let him take your peace. Don't let him take anything away from you, because we know the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God has given us the victory. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God has given us the power. Hallelujah. To step on the enemy's head. Jump. Scream. Holler. Do what you gotta do. But don't you shed a tear. Don't ever let the enemy see you cry. Don't ever let the enemy see you sweat. Why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't have the gift of salvation. Then I suggest you get it today. Your life is depending on it. And it's not that hard. All you have to do is say, Lord, come into my heart. Lord, come into my life. I repent of everything that I have done that was not of you. God, forgive me of all of my sins. God, forgive me of all of my iniquities. God, forgive me of all of my transgressions. Lord, forgive me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be elaborate because you know what? God knows your heart. God knows your heart. It doesn't have to be fancy words. Just speak like you would speak to your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, how you speak to yourself. Just say, God, I want you. I'm giving up the old world, and I want the new world. I want eternal life. I want a relationship with you, because there is a difference between relationship and religion. We can be so religious and not have a relationship with God. That's a whole nother teaching. Glory be to God. But I just want to encourage you today to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a marvelous day. What a glorious day to be in the house of the Lord. And I say I am in the house of the Lord because the Bible says where two or more are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. Hallelujah. And we are the church. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I am just rejoicing knowing that whatever comes my way today, God has already made a way of escape. All I need to do is trust him. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Why do I say his unchanging hand? Because his hands never change. Hallelujah. He is not wishy-washy as man is. That's why the Bible tells us to trust no man and to put all our trust in him. Man will deceive you, but God will not. You can trust God. You can take his word to the bank. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And get a return. God's word cannot return back to him void. It must accomplish that which he set it out to do. Glory be to God. I love the fact that even though Abraham and Sarah took the long route to get to their blessings by not waiting on the Lord and decided to make the baby happen, but God honored the promise. God said, this is the promise I give you. And the one thing about God, when he gives you a promise, when he makes a promise, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. If you desire prayer, you can email me at Seer Simmons, SEERSIMMONS, at hotmail.com, Seer, S-E-E-R, Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S, at hot, H-O-T, mail, M-A-I-L.com, or you can call me at 843-830-9325. Glory be to God. Have a blessed day in the Lord, and know God loves you. Yes, he does. Shalom.